Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. God is addressing Noah. Verse 4. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. The flood and the devastation in Texas has taken my mind back to the greatest flood that the world has ever seen. But of everything that I have read this week and all of the reports that I have seen about the Hurricane Harvey, there are two things that I've heard that I can't get out of my mind. One of them was a gentleman down there who was responsible for heading up the preparation of this. And he said, when a hurricane is coming, he says, our preparation is always the same. He said, we prepare for the worst case scenario. We get in a room and tell ourselves, now if absolutely everything goes wrong, and nothing is what we think, and it's completely the worst ever. And he says, we start from there, so if it's anything less than the worst, we just take that as a plus. And then he said this. He said, but this is worse than the worst case scenario. And I can't get that statement out of my mind. This is worse than our worst case scenario. The other thing I heard this week that stayed with me is a gentleman who, making a report, said that this hurricane, this flood, occurs in the world once about every 800 years. This is a once in 800 years devastation. But see, the flood in the day of Noah wasn't a once in every 800 year flood. It was a once forever flood. Now look at Genesis chapter 7 and verse 4. There's something very interesting that is said there. It is said that Noah and his family stayed on the ark for 7 days before it started to rain. Now think about that. For a week, there was no rain. For a week, everything was fine. There was no problem. For a week, life was just as it had been. But then, brethren, after 7 days, It started to rain. And the world would never be the same after that. Now, what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that that is so much like our lives. We go through a period of time in life where everything is fine. We go through a period of time, you know what? There's no rain, there's no storm, there's no problem, and life is just fine. And then life hits a storm. That storm may be as something as simple as your phone ringing. That storm, that flood may be as simple as somebody knocking on your front door. And your life is never the same after that. It's never the same after that. As bad as this hurricane in Texas has been, and it's been a catastrophe on all levels, but sooner or later, that water will recede. There will be a massive rebuilding project that will take years. Texas will survive. But that's not how it was in the days of Noah. When that flood ended in the days of Noah, outside of Noah and his wife and his three children and their three wives, and a male and female of every animal in the animal kingdom, every living thing outside that ark died. It's the worst flood ever. Now, I want to draw from what you and what I have seen and read this week about Hurricane Harvey. Because as I sat there this week and watched some of this unfold, and as I read about what those people were going through, there were some things that came into my mind, and there are three things that what I have seen this week and what I have read this week, there are three things that all of us need to be reminded of in light of what we have seen in this flood. First lesson is this. This hurricane reminds us that we are limited in what we can do. You get that? This hurricane was predicted. It was out in the ocean, and they knew it was out there. They knew before it was a hurricane and was a tropical storm. They were saying, it's out there. They knew it was out there for it was a tropical storm. They said, something is brewing and it's coming. That something turned into a tropical storm, and they said, now this storm is coming, and that tropical storm is going to turn into a hurricane, and it did turn into a hurricane, and they said, it's coming. They predicted days ahead, it's coming, but none of us had the power to stop it. Are you listening? We knew it was coming, and none of us could turn it back around. All of our wisdom, all of our technology, all of our know-how and sophistication, we were helpless. I was reminded this week of how limited we really are. We knew it was coming and couldn't stop it. We knew it was coming and we couldn't stop it. Now, let's make two applications to that thought, and the first one is death. Death is coming, and guess what? We can't stop it. It's out there. It's coming. And we don't have the power to change that. The preacher said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5, the living know they shall die. Let me tell you something about it. Old people will die. Young people may die. You can exercise. You can eat right. You can take vitamins. You can come from good stock. Your mama and daddy may have lived and seen Abraham Lincoln. But it's coming, and we can't stop it. Listen, Moses lived to be 120 years old, and when Moses was 120 years old, do you know what happened to Moses? He died. Abraham lived to be 175 years old, and when Abraham was 175 years old, do you know what happened to him? He died. Adam lived to be 930 years old, and when Adam was 930 years old, you know what happened? Adam died. Noah, who we've made reference to, lived to be 950 years old, and when Noah was 950 years old, guess what he did? He died. Methuselah lived to be 969 years old, and at 969 years old, he died. And all of us will die. Listen, we know it's coming and we can't stop it, but we need to get ready for it. We are limited. Are you listening? We are limited in what we can do. This week, I'm watching all of this devastation unfold. I'm watching all of this happen, and I'm thinking, how helpless are we? It's coming and you can't stop it. Second application to that is the second coming of Jesus. You old heads will remember this. Remember when we used to talk about that in the church? You remember that? You remember when them old leather lung preachers used to come into town and talk about living in an expectation of Jesus because Jesus is coming, but now we are so edumacated we don't want to talk about that. Are you listening? It's coming. It's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. Jesus said, I'm coming. In Matthew 25 and verse 31, Jesus said, when the Son of Man was a title he gave to himself. When the Son of Man shall come in all of his glory with all of his holy angels with him, and that he shall sit on air, and all nations will be gathered before them, and they will be separated into two groups, saved and lost. Luke, the historian, said, listen, Jesus is coming. You can't stop this. In Acts 1 and in verse 9, when Jesus ascended into heaven, Luke says, why are you standing here and gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who is taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Paul said he's coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and have not obeyed the gospel. Peter said he's coming. 2 Peter 3 verse 8. Be certain of this, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow keeping promises, as some people count slowness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens shall pass away. The earth and everything in it will be burned up. Jesus is coming, and we can't stop this. Now listen carefully to my thought about all of this. This devastation reminds us of how limited we are. But we think we have control. We think we're in charge. Look, we're not in control of anything. Let me tell you what you're in control of. If you live to the end of the sermon, and we're not even in control of that. But if you live to the end of this sermon, only thing you're in control of is if you're going to get right with God or not. That's it. None of us are in control if we're going to be alive when this service is over. None of us are in control of whether or not I'm going to make it to the car. None of us are in control as to whether or not I'm going to get home. None of us are in control as to whether or not we're going to get up. And we talk about, well, I'm in control. No, you're not. We control so very, very little. And that's why we need to live by putting our hope and our trust in God. I don't know what the future is, but bless God, I ought to know who holds it. They showed a shot this week in Houston. There are parts of Houston, Texas, and Dallas, Texas, that are some of the most elite neighborhoods in all of America. This guy was standing in Houston in his neighborhood, with mansions behind him. If a billionaire had looked at one of them, the billionaire would have said, "That's a really nice mansion." There's water to the second floor on them. Water to the second floor. Here is this multi-million-dollar mansion. And unless you are looking for a house that has a swimming pool in every room, you wouldn't live in it. Are you listening? Don't miss the point. That's exactly the way the world is. And that's exactly the way the things of the world are. Well, I got such and so, I'm going to get by. No, you ain't. Unless such and so is the Lord, you need to walk real slow. So the hurricane reminded me of how limited we are. This not only happened, we knew this thing was coming, couldn't do nothing. You better put your trust in God, because it's going to rain on you someday. Lesson number two. This hurricane reminded me of the words of Jesus. Look with me quickly at Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus has brought the Sermon on the Mount. Now the Sermon on the Mount has ended, and he's going to make an application to his teachings. Matthew 7 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," that is the Sermon on the Mount, "whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the flood came, the wind blew and beat on the house, and it didn't fall, for it was founded on a rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." The storm that Jesus is talking about here is not a physical storm. Jesus is talking about here the storms of disappointment in life. He's talking about here the storms of heartbreak, and he's talking about the storms of tragedy that all of us have to endure. But that if you will take your life, and if you will build your life on the teachings of Jesus, if you will build your life on the rock, which is Christ, you can survive these storms of life. Now, here's what's fascinating in what the passage says. Both of these foundations suffered storms. Both of these halls, both of these foundations had rain hit them. Both of these foundations had wind blow on them. Both of these foundations had floods that hit them. One of them stood and the other collapsed. What is he talking about? It's talking about the power of Christ in our lives. And if we take that power, power into our lives, we can survive. So you and your neighbor go through exactly the same tragedy. Exactly the same tragedy. Your neighbor, without Christ, his life splinters and ruined because of that storm of tragedy. But you, whose life is built on Christ, you survive because your foundation is the rock of Jesus. You know what you've seen this week? Here's what you've seen this last week. You have seen people walk through water waist deep. And they are carrying other people. They are either carrying them in their arms or they are carrying them on their back. And all of us have seen these photos or these clips of people who are in water waist deep and they're carrying other people, and we look at that and we are just shocked by what has happened. Listen, there are people like that all around us. All around us. Not physically, but emotionally and spiritually, these people are drowning. A young mother hears her child has died. The storm is hard, and the mother now drowning. The middle-aged man hears the doctor say to him, it's cancer. The storm is hard and he is now drowning. Dad comes home or mom comes home and says, I'm now out of work. The storm is hard and they are now drowning. Now, those of us whose lives are built on the rock, must we endure the storm? Yes, we must. Will the storm bring tears to us? I assure you it will. Will the storm leave scars on us? Absolutely it will. But we will survive and endure because our lives are built on the rock of Christ. This hurricane reminded me of the teachings of Jesus. Where we must choose to build on rock or on sand. This hurricane reminded me of how limited we are, how pathetic we are when tragedy comes. Third lesson, quickly. This hurricane reminded me that at some point, every one of us will find ourselves in a storm. Now, you might be in a storm right now. It may be with your family, it may be with your job, it may be with your health, whatever it may be. You may be in a storm right now. You need to understand that whether or not you survive what you're going through is going to be determined by your faith and whether your faith is in the rock or your faith is on the sand. Because wherever you put your faith is going to determine on whether or not you're going to survive this and who you're going to be after you survive this. Now, I'm going to say this, and some people aren't going to get this. And this is going to go out on the internet, and some of them aren't going to get this. And I'm going to hear about this, but I'm too old to care. Every week, I stand right here and pour out my heart. I'm not standing here spewing facts. I wouldn't give you a nickel for that. I'm not standing here to lecture. And what I say to preachers all over, and half of them don't believe me, and that's on them. I never, ever, ever even entertain a thought about whether it's a good sermon or not. Because in your life and in my life, how many good sermons have you heard and thought, man, that's great, and 10 minutes later, you don't know anything about it? Find a hurt and heal it. Find someone's wrong trying to fix it. Listen. Scratch where it itches. Reach where they are. There's a truth. I want to get the truth across. If I get the truth across, then that's what I'm after. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I do what I do, and I do it for one reason, because when I'm standing here doing it, what I'm doing is handing you a brick. And I'm handing you another brick, and I'm going to hand you another brick, and I'm going to hand you another brick, and I want you to take these bricks, and I want you to build a foundation for your life. And the key to a foundation is to build it for the storm comes. Listen, you and I, we don't start praying because the storm has come. We've been praying. We don't read the Bible because tragedy strikes. We've been reading it. We don't come to church because our lives have been shaken. We've been coming. And we set one brick, and we set another brick, and we set another brick, and we set another brick, and we build that foundation of our lives on the teaching of Jesus Christ, because as sure as night follows day, it's going to rain on you, it's going to rain on me, and all of us are going to be in this storm, and whether or not we survive is going to depend on where we've put our faith. So, this week, I've been talking to myself about how pitiful I am. And you need to have that conversation with yourself, too. Not about how pitiful I am, but about who you are. I've been reminding myself about what Jesus said about the flood. That flood of tragedy that's coming. And I've been reminded we're all going to get in a storm here. So what we've got to do is we've got to take the teachings of Jesus and we got to build our lives on those teachings. All that devastation, and those people who've lost everything are helping other people. You see that? And nobody's asking to see an ID card. Are you a Democrat or a Republican? Well, you don't look white, but let me see your card and make sure. Nobody cares. I mean, people who've lost everything are helping other folk. Restored a little in me about humanity. God help us to build the foundation because the storm is coming. This afternoon, you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus. You do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.